Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on Gold Radio Cafe. It's Friday, October 19th, 2012. Welcome to the Gold and Silver Financial Review. My name is Bosco Kacharovich, and this program is brought to you by Central Metals. We understand the problem, and we have the answer, gold and silver bullion investments. We're located here in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, and our website is centralmetalscorp.com. Our phone number is 519-915-7542. Our email address is mail@centralmetalscorp.com. We've got a number of things on the radar today. I'd like to welcome Jeff Dunphy out from Calgary. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Bosco. How is this week unfolding for us, price-wise, in terms of gold and silver?
Well, we have a little bit of a dip today. Looks like right around 8:30, they started hitting it. Actually, last night they started hitting it. Gold is right now 17.1792, and silver spot price is 32.10. So, you know, we've had a strong rally over the past month and a half, and you know, these ups and downs are kind of normal in the market. The speed at which they happen is obviously due to, you know, outside forces. But I really don't think that that this correction or dip will be anything severe. So I think it's just a good buying opportunity. Anybody who's been sitting on the sidelines, you know, you might want to start accumulating again. And because we're obviously going to, I think it's some of it is maybe positioning before the election. So maybe they're trying to knock it down a little bit before the election. And then after the election, we're going to see some rally. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. Jeff, what do you have? Actually, let's get a couple of these listener questions off the table here. We have one I sent you out. This is from a listener, George. He's asking, he said, basically, we discuss how gold is a store of wealth, and he believes it is. However, gold holds its value over time, and if it preserves actual purchasing power as real money, then how can the government categorize any gain as taxable? Technically, the gain in gold is only the counterbalance of paper money depreciating. Can I have your comments on this, please? Jeff?
Absolutely. And George, that's a great question. I mean, yes, we are taxed as a capital gain on gold. One of the things that happens in one of the gray areas in buying Canadian minted coins or U.S. minted coins is that they have a face value, and the face value would be, I mean, what is the face value of a Canadian gold maple leaf, Bosco? Is it $50?
Yes.
Yeah, so we have a Canadian gold maple leaf that has a face value, which is from a minted of $50, but in fact, it isn't worth $50. It's worth $1,725 or whatever it is this morning. So, yes, there is the context of real purchasing power and real money. There is the commodity aspect of it as well. So, I mean, yes, technically the gain in gold is the financial industry recognizing that the commodity itself is worth more than the face value of the currency and the fact that it's both the currency and a commodity. So it gets a bit gray in there. While they do tax it and while gold goes up, it's one of those hybrids, if you will. And it, even at the border, if you speak to some border guards and you say, well, no, I mean, it's $50 because it's a Canadian coin as opposed to it's worth $2,000. Sometimes the border guards don't know whether to value it at $50 or $2,000. And I'm sure as the devaluation of the currency continues and the price of gold continues to go up, there will be further administrative reevaluation of how they play on that. I trust that answers it. What do you think, Bosco? Do you think that's a comprehensive answer?
Just one thing to note regarding importing and exporting of gold. And I discussed this with the customs, as I do a lot of it in myself in my business. Because of the for example, gold maple leafs are 4/9 fine. The rule in the customs for immigrate or importing gold into Canada, it goes by the face value of the coin because it's the currency value. They can't track what the gold market value is, so they have to go by the face value of the coin. As far as if you're bringing in gold coins, like bullion coins, it goes by the face value. If you're bringing in gold bullion, okay, then it goes by the market value. But a lot of customers ask me as well regarding the $10,000 rule, and I discussed this with the supervisor at the customs department. And basically, it's if you bring over a $50 gold maple leaf coin, it's considered 50 Canadian dollars. It doesn't matter what the value of it is. Where gold bullion, it's not considered a currency in circulation, so it doesn't qualify as being portable for the $10,000 rule. So you can verify that with customs and. I can just tell people the best thing is to do just to declare what you have and, you know, let them deal with it. If anybody wants the memorandum from customs that states that, I can provide them with that. They just got to send me an email and I'll send you a copy of the memorandum that states the issue regarding the coin. So, they are, well, it is taxable. Capital gains are taxable. That's just the way it is. So, okay, we'll go on to the next question here. This is from Vinny. I believe he's in Ontario. And Vinny wants to know when U.S. dollars go overseas in bonds, what happens when those bonds come back to the U.S., when foreigners start selling those bonds back to the U.S.? What is the process? And what is the end game of this situation?
Great question. Now, one of the things that we are currently in the throes of watching is how fiscal monetary policy is being whitewashed all over the planet. So we've got the euro being printed dramatically. We've got the U.S. dollar being printed dramatically in order to pay off debt. So this works for a government because they're giving you worthless fiat currency off their debts. And this is one of the reasons why the Chinese, in terms of their trade predisposition, are so upset with the government, with the U.S., printing money. So the initial question is what happens when these bonds come home to roost, so to speak, is the selling of bonds into the U.S. market or into the bond market, when you have a whole bunch of selling, you have a whole bunch of supply. When you have too much supply, the price starts to fall. When the price of bonds fall, the yield on the bond or the interest.
Hello, Jeff?
Hello?
Hello? You cut out there for a second.
Okay, I'm sorry. So part of the fabric of U.S. bonds getting sold is the bond market and the U.S. Treasury going, heavens to Betsy, we can't have too many people sell our bonds because that will drive the price way down. So what does end up happening is that the U.S. Treasury starts to buy the bonds, and they start to buy the bonds and issue more paper to buy the bonds in order to support the price. So this is part of the maniacal manipulation of the fiat currency gig, and that is they don't want the prices of the bonds to drop. And this is what's happened in Greece, and this is what's happened in Italy and Spain. It will have to go in Ireland as well, is that their bonds now become worth less and less and less because nobody wants to own them because everybody thinks that the country's going to default on them. That makes them riskier. Risk and return. Return is commensurate with risk. If a country's bonds are deemed junk, or if they're deemed dangerous, or if they're deemed susceptible to default, the interest rate goes up because people are need to have more interest to compensate them for the risk they're taking on. Now what happens is all of the monetary manipulators, if you will, or the banksters, the central banksters, they get in there and go, we can't have the interest rates in Greece and Italy climbing above 7%. So they force those things down, and they force them down by buying the bonds. So it is a modality. They would call it, or they would couch it in the phrase, normal course market operations. However, we know it as manipulation of the financial system through the buying and selling of bonds to give everybody a getting said and done. We do know that there are very the Greeces and the Italy, even the States, you know, France, Japan. There are very few of these countries, Bosco, as we've talked from time to time, that actually do have the capacity to pay what they owe. So it gets into this place of, as long as everybody's okay and there's not a run on the bank, so to speak, and the run on the bank is this, as this question points out, what happens if everybody just starts to sell their bonds? This would lend itself to what we've sort of perceived over a while as there being a bubble in the U.S. Treasury or the U.S. bond market. We think it's a bit delusory.
Right. He's got a follow-up here question as well. And I think it kind of relates to what you just talked about. With all the global stimulus going on, how long can this keep going on? How long can the house of cards rise? And basically he's asking as well about hyperinflation. How long does hyperinflation take? Several months, several weeks, days? What do you think, Jeff?
That's a great question. And we asked that one of our guests a little while ago, and his response, Dr. Roberts, his response was, nobody wants this house of cards to fall down. All the players don't want it to fall down, because if it falls down, it means the collapse of many, many monetary systems. It means the collapse of the financial institutions globally. So that the powers that be don't want that to happen. So they'll do everything they can to keep this from collapsing. Now, the backstop on that is there will be a certain point in time where the guys, the money, the powers that be who are looking out for their own best interests will collapse it merely because they don't think it can last forever. So this is when the George Soros's of the business of the world say, I'm out. I'm getting out. I'm stopping the business, and I'm stopping managing people's money. I'm now just going to manage my own. And so these really clever guys who are not inside the government, so to speak, but are very wise in terms of their investment prowess, the Jim Rogers of the world, the Soroses of the world, these guys say, I'm getting out, and then they start to accumulate bullion, the Eric Sprotts of the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, to that question, I don't know. I do know this. It will happen, whether it happens in a day, a month, a year, I don't know when, but I do know it will happen. It can't not happen, in my opinion.
Right, I agree. It's not a question of if, it's just when. Because it's, looking at history and the empires that have risen and fallen in the past, it's kind of like the same scenario. And you have the central banks around the world have stated they're going to print money, especially the Federal Reserve, that they're going to expand credit and stimulus and whatever. It all, at the end of the day, it all means printing money. So I agree. How long it will last, that's the big question. But for some reason, I don't think it's going to last much longer, maybe another year or two, and then things are going to really start falling apart. And so it's just to kind of get prepared now and hope for the best. Jeff, we added a special product to our product offering this week. And I was wondering if you'd like to introduce the new coin that we're going to be offering.
All right, I'd be happy to do that, Bosco. Many years ago, when I was a young boy and my grandfather left, my grandfather died, he gave to me a Mayan calendar. And recently, I was very much inspired to have it struck in gold. And being a bit of an ancient teaching buff, if you will, and somebody who's involved in all kinds of this in the esoteric realm, I was inspired to have it struck in gold. Now, this is the Mayan calendar has been known about. The Mayan calendar, we've been sociologically been inspired to think that on December 21st, the world's going to end. And in fact, it's not so much the world's going to end. It's merely an astronomical event that all the astrologers have known about for tens of thousands of years. And it's blatantly there, although confirm that there is an astrological event that happens inside cycles, and this cycle is a 26,000 year cycle, and this event is happening on 12/21. So then we get movie makers, as you know, Bosco, out there saying the world's going to come to a calamitous end. But I think, in fact, what is going to happen is one era is going to shift, and another astrological era is going to shift as well, astronomical as well as astrological, astronomical. And so we are seeing the end of the Mayans foresaw it, and this little medallion that we've created, Bosco and I have created, is a Mayan calendar, and we struck it in 24 karat gold, and we thought that some of our listeners might be interested in acquiring one for their own, one for themselves. Now I had this done, and it cost me $2,500. So we're, you know, Bosco and I are offering for the time being at $2,500. So you can have them as well, should you see fit. It's magic. It has it's thousands of years. The knowledge and the astronomy behind it is thousands of years old, if not tens or hundreds of thousands, depending. I think it might be a timely piece for people to own, and we're doing them in a limited number as well. It is on the website in the very top left corner for you to see it, and we would be delighted if it's something that you would like to own for yourself.
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful image, and just want to let our listeners know it is going to be a 4/9 fine gold bullion medallion, and it's more of a collector's item. And something to hold for the future, and there is a premium on it, but, you know, as Jeff just said, there was a lot of process required to produce the coin and have it minted and so on, so there's a lot of costs involved in getting that coin produced, so right now the price is $2,500, and the delivery time on that right now, I believe, is going to be 4 to 6 weeks. Might be sooner. Depends on how much demand we get. So if you're interested, you could send us over an email. If you have any questions, let us know or give us a call. And we can go through the same process that you do when you buy regular bullion coins from us. So I just want to thank Jeff for allowing us the opportunity to market this coin. I think it's very unique and has its significance. Like you mentioned, you know, you hear a lot of dastardly stories about the end of the world, and I think those kind of things are more or less to sell tickets for movie theaters and that, but I don't know much about it, but, you know, changing the cycle, as you mentioned, Jeff. I was just wondering, how do you think? Do you think that the average person, or how is that change in the cycle going to affect people in general? Like, do you think there's something might happen, or?
Well, Bosco, we had this discussion, and we have this discussion from time to time. up at the university and with the engineers. And the engineers are very pragmatic, very linear thinkers. And one of the things that is undeniable is the astronomy of the time that changes is a given. Everybody's known about it. It all happens every, you know, what, again, these are 25, 26,000 year cycles. So is it happening? Yes, of course it is. The impact of it happening will be widespread. I would suggest that it might be food for thought to recognize that the reason that we are in this financial calamity with a whole bunch of countries using erroneous methodology to get out of trouble, they're printing money. We liken this to flapping their wings as they're plummeting to the ground. I would suggest it might be something to contemplate that maybe the reason governments are going into disrepair and maybe this egregious amount of government borrowing or government calamity in terms of that may be all a part of the cycle. You know, I make reference to the fact that we've seen some outrageous examples of greed over the past many, many years. I mean, we see the Enron debacle, which is these guys brought this company down just because they were so greedy and they were so delusory. We see Bernie Madoff bilking tens of billions, if not 50s of billions of dollars from investors. We see this incredibly egregious modality of activity. And I think you can't be selfish perpetually, you can't be selfish without it having quite a dramatic effect on the world, right? So I want to read a little something that I've brought up in school, you know, but also certainly for our listeners, because I think it might be relevant. And it's this: what separates successful states from failed ones is whether their governing institutions are inclusive or extractive. Extractive states are controlled by ruling elites whose objective is to extract as much wealth as they can from the rest of society. Sound familiar, Bosco?
Yep.
Inclusive states give everyone access to economic opportunity, and often greater inclusiveness creates more prosperity, which creates an incentive for even greater inclusiveness. So one of the stipulations of this, Bosco, is that these extractive states, which you're seeing, are detrimental to the benefit and the well-being of everybody. And I think what tends to happen, the optimist thinks that we would have the end cycle, if you will, and the beginning of an inclusive cycle where economic prosperity and the well-being of the total is taken into consideration rather than extractive selfishness of the elites, the financial elite, the 1%, if you will.
Right. So, I don't know, I like to put a positive spin on it. I mean, you know, like you mentioned, this might be the end of all the fraud and corruption in the financial world, and maybe this changing cycle is going to be the birth of more stable and more genuine markets. I hope so.
As I said before, the optimist in me wants to believe that. And in order, one of the things that we have conversations often, ladies and gentlemen, about is, do we want these greedy individuals, the unbelievably selfish bankers, organizing and running the financial wherewithal of the planet? Well, I mean, that's a pretty easy question to answer. However, in order for them not to run, and in order for them not to manipulate the financial well-being of the planet, they have to collapse. And I think we are generally heading towards a not inconsequential collapse. I mean, I think Greece has collapsed already. We're seeing, you know, rioting in the streets and firebombing in the streets and striking in the streets. This is demonstrative of what I think we're going to see in many more societies. I'm not sure if we've chatted about the Homeland Security issue, Bosco, but Homeland Security, and ladies and gentlemen, go and check this out on the web. They've bought 450 million bullets. Well, the Homeland Security is to keep the Americans safe. Some would think that buying a whole bunch of bullets for Homeland Security is keeping the government safe from the people when the people revolt about the manner in which they run their country. I don't know. Food for thought nonetheless, Russell.
Yeah, one thing to add to that, Jeff, I received a link from a client just a couple hours ago that I didn't know there's a new bill that's being introduced in the U.S. That is going to basically they want Congress or the government to get it's a preparedness bill that Homeland Security and FEMA, I believe it's FEMA, is going to be doing some things to get prepared for some kind of a catastrophe or natural disaster or whatever it is. I don't know if this relates to the Mayan calendar or not or whatever, but I think that they're, you know, they see something is not good is coming, but I hate to talk about, you know, the end of the world and Armageddon and all, because I really don't believe things change and cycles happen and people, you know, you have to adjust to changes. You know, nothing goes in a linear fashion. We live in I think this is part of understanding markets too. Markets aren't just mathematicians and linear charts and so on, because there's human nature involved and natural disasters and natural effects and you know, things of that nature. So it's more of an art form, I guess, understanding the markets. So, you know, people just got to realize that I think, you know, being prepared is, it's not that, you know, you're a fear monger and you think something terrible is going to happen. It's just, being prepared is a smart thing to do. You know, you never know when something happens. People, you know, I got some clients that discuss, you know, storing food in that. There's nothing wrong with storing food. People have been doing it for centuries. You know, just kind of being ready in case something happens. Just, you know, I think it's just kind of prudent, and people should be prepared and have things set aside for accidents or disasters or whatever. It's just part of, I guess, being ready. So
that's exactly right, Bosco. I mean, it's called being self-reliant.
Yep.
And also being able to see what is versus what the media wants you to see versus what the financial institutions want you to see versus what the whole game plan is. If they can keep people in the dark, then they're more easily led, they're more easily manipulated. Okay, I've got a couple of very interesting quotes from some old guys who've been around for a long time about the money markets and the financial institutions. And this one is from, believe it or not, Henry Ford. "It is well enough that the people of the nation do not understand our banking and monetary system. For if they did, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning." Henry Ford wrote that.
Yep.
And here's another one that you and I spend an enormous amount of time and energy trying to do as well, Bosco. And this is by John Kenneth Galbraith, who is an incredibly respected, highly regarded economist who was very influential in the creation of this. And it goes like this. "The study of money above all other fields in economics is one in which complexity is used to disguise truth, or to evade truth, not to reveal it. The process by which banks create money is so simple, the mind is repelled." So these are not lightweights, Bosco. These are guys who are very conversant in how things are done. And one of our objectives, ladies and gentlemen, is to put forward food for thought, so that you are not taken to the cleaners, so to speak, pardon the pun, but you are aware enough to become self-reliant, and in that self-reliance, pursue avenues that can see some of the manipulative acts going on by governments, so you can make preparation to store your wealth, as we chatted with George, in terms of gold is a great store of wealth, and you can preserve your wealth in a manner where you can see what is rather than what you're being told to see or what lies are being propagated by those who want to manipulate you. It is a wee bit of a con job, as we've both Boston and I have said for a long time, how the governments print money and tell you everything's going to be fine. It's delusory, in our opinion.
Yeah, and I always urge people to, you know, to read some history, or if you have, you know, if your grandparents and so on are still alive, there's still some people that lived through the Great Depression and hyperinflation in Germany and so on. If you know people like that, ask them what it was like, what they did to prepare, and, you know, what was going on the street, never mind the global situation or the financial situation. What were people doing in their neighborhoods, and how were they preparing? And, you know, it's just, you know, that ancient wisdom kind of thing of skills that they had in the past are, I think now, are being set aside. They're being ignored by the new generation. And I think that those skills need to be kind of reborn, and people need to understand how to, you know, how to have a garden, how to pickle fruits and vegetables and those kind of things, just being ready. So anyways, Jeff, we're running out of time here. Do you have any other headlines that you wanted to discuss shortly here?
Well, I want to chat a little about what you just said, Bosco. Maybe we can end it on this, but let's chat about the evolution of mankind. You made reference to history and how it can serve us when we are conversant with it. When we know history, we can see how things repeat themselves over and over again. And again, I may have read this over on our show before, but I want to do it again because, again, further our pursuit of food for thought. A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves largesse from the public treasury. Ho-ho. What are both Romney and Obama telling everybody? From the moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy. This is what we've been chatting about. This is the printing of money. Always followed by a dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations has been about 200 years. These nations have regressed through this sequence, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to apathy, nobody voting, from apathy to dependence, from dependence back into bondage. Now, Bosco, I've said this before, and many of the listeners will get this. This was written by Alexander Tyler, and you will not believe how long it was written ago, Bosco. It was written in 1775, and it is very valid, very real, and very true today. And if he can figure this out 280 years ago, 290 years ago, hello? Maybe we should be paying attention. History does repeat itself.
Yeah, man. Possibly he was educated in the Mayan calendar as well. I think that's, I think that this those Mayans knew what they were talking about. So, you know, having a piece of that history, that ancient wisdom in a gold coin, I think it's going to, you know, serve people well, and it'll be something that keeps that reminder alive with people about history. So
exactly, and remember, I mean, you are paying, ladies and gentlemen, the same price that I did. I mean, I had this made for $2,500, and you'll be paying the same price. It's not it is a reasonable price, and we would like very much for you to have them. I think they're auspicious, if you will, and I think owning gold is beneficial in terms of a financial act, but I think some would say that the Mayans proposed that we are about to enter a new golden age, and with that, I suspect that this this medallion may be of use to you, not only in preserving your wealth, but also in welcoming in the new age, as we welcome out the old age, as the old age of selfishness sort of falls in on upon itself, and hopefully we can step into an inclusive nature instead of an extractive modality.
Okay, Jeff, thank you very much. So there you have
it. All right, Bob.
It's a limited time offer. We're not going to be minting very many of these medallions, so give us a call now, and we'll get the gold and start pouring it, and you'll have your medallion shortly. So thank you, Jeff, and we have to close up the show here, and have a good weekend.
Thanks very much, Bosco. Thank you for allowing us to be of service.
Goodbye.